is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Much love and many thanks to everybody tuned in and locked in all over North America. Me, I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Super producer and host Ryan Hickey. Well, he's in New York City. And I'm just glad that you're here. I hope you had a tremendous weekend, a good Monday. We got a lot to recap. We got a lot to get into. I feel like we have crossed the threshold from no football to football. Yeah, some college games over the weekend and some preseason NFL games over the weekend. We got the U.S. Open in full swing. Little League World Series is done, finally. Aaron Judge is cranking home runs. Shohei Ohtani is 40-40. Deion Sanders don't want to talk to nobody. We got some contracts that were given out. Well, at least one in CeeDee Lamb. And we got a guy on the 49ers. No, not Ayuk. Another guy not happy with his deal. Still, that would be Trent Williams. Oh, and we got a lot to do. How about later on in the show? We're going to have a conversation with a man on the offensive line for the Arizona Cardinals. Kelvin Beachum is going to come through and join us. Always a pleasure chatting it up with him. And if you want to participate in the show, it's real simple. You can do so. The phone number is as follows, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. You can find me online. I'm everywhere on the internet where people exist or robots or whatever the hell is there. I am at JR Sport Brief, every place imaginable. Thank you for tuning in. You can always listen on the free Audacy app, AUDACY. You can lock in on your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate. If you got SiriusXM, it's channel 158. And if you have yourself a smart speaker, ask the speaker to play the Infinity Sports Network. It's that time of year, folks. It's August 26th. Even thinking about or saying September sounds dirty at this point in time, but we're pulling up on it. Like I told you, we've had football. We're going to get down on that Georgia Tech Florida State game from Saturday. A matter of fact, Kelvin Beachum, when he joins us later on, I'm going to ask him about SMU. That's his alma mater. I'm going to ask him about them because they barely squeaked on by. And so there's a lot to get into. Hickey, how are you, man? You doing good on this Monday, August 26th?
I am doing good. A little depressing. That's basically summer's over, but hey.
Oh, no.
Otherwise, you know, doing very well, honestly. I mean, not as good as CeeDee Lamb, but still pretty damn well.
Yeah, CeeDee Lamb. 4-year contract, $136 million. The deal came on down the pipe publicly earlier this afternoon. And this is one less thing for the Dallas Cowboys to have to worry about. This man is making $34 million a season. He's making $1 million less than Justin Jefferson, who we know is making $35 million. And I guess CeeDee Lamb was like, you know what, that's okay. That's fine. And I guess to pacify him just a little bit, they decided to give him a $38 million signing bonus. Now, that's the most ever by a wide receiver. So you win some, you lose some. He also has $100 million of this $136 guaranteed. This is going to keep this man a Dallas Cowboy through the year 2028. Final year of his rookie contract is coming up, $17 million, and then he's going to start making the big bucks. Somebody else waiting for the big bucks, the big money, is Michael Parsons. No urgency there. We got to wait to pay Michael Parsons next year. But the next guy up, this man will be a free agent at the end of the season if they don't figure something out between now and the start of the season. Dallas Cowboys open things up against the Cleveland Browns. Is Dak Prescott. But the first man who pretty much spoke on Bleacher Report, because he has a show on Bleacher Report. It's like every athlete, everybody has a show. Hickey, did Patrick Beverly continue on with his show yet, or did he shut up?
No. Yeah, I've seen clips. The show in Israel is continuing.
Oh, boy. Okay. Well, maybe we'll hear less about it. Well, we'll see. Anyway, Michael Parsons, what the hell did he have to say about CeeDee Lamb's contract? Well, this is what he said.
congratulations to my man CD Lamb. Man, couldn't be happier for the guy. One of the best dudes in the locker room, one of the best players on our team, and to get the payday he got to take care of his family, I couldn't be more happy for CD. So congratulations to my brother CD Lamb. Man, it's a dream to be watching you, partnering up with you, and suiting up with you every week. So congratulations on your bread. You earned every dollar.
Look, man, Dallas Cowboys make everybody sweat. They attempted to try to get this done last year. No reason to. Why from CeeDee Lamb's perspective? He's been working out by himself in Texas. And Dallas Cowboys are going to try to slowly work him into shape without ripping him to shreds. And this is what we all expected. Who thought that the Dallas Cowboys weren't going to have him? How could you even evaluate a contract year for Dak Prescott and his number one option, who hauled in almost 1,800 yards receiving and 12 touchdowns? How the hell were you not going to have him out there? There's enough people with the Dallas Cowboys. There's enough of the fan base who already looks at the team and just says, what the hell are we doing? Are we going backwards? You mean to tell me our big acquisition this past offseason was bringing back, what, let me look, Ezekiel Elliott? Of course CeeDee Lamb was going to be back. And now he's the second highest paid wide receiver in the league. A matter of fact, he's the second highest paid anybody in the league that's not a quarterback. Justin Jefferson is getting $5 million. Lamb is getting $34 million, the same as Bosa on the 49ers. A.J. Brown is making $32 million. Chris Jones is making a shade under that. The NFL players, they're getting bread now. They're getting to the money. And CeeDee Lamb, he deserves it. Now it's just a matter of seeing whether or not Dak is going to be next. They got time. They should just give this guy his $60 million and move along, because in the words of Fat Joe, the price ain't going to do nothing but go up. Ian Rappaport, he was on the NFL Network, and he dropped a lot of these details on CeeDee Lamb's deal, and I guess everybody's happy now. Listen to this.
CeeDee Lamb just got paid. His holdout is over. The star receiver of the Dallas Cowboys is headed back to practice, getting ready for the 2024 season, because he has now agreed to terms on a massive contract extension. 4 years, $136 million extension, according to me and colleague Tom Pelissero. $100 million guaranteed, a wide receiver record, $38 million signing bonus. Now the second highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history. So CeeDee Lamb is back, and the Dallas Cowboys now turn their attention to getting a long-term extension done with their star quarterback, Dak Prescott.
Get it done. What is that? Ricky Bobby, get her done. Whatever it is, just get the job done. What are we waiting on? And I'm not in a room negotiating, but I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to say, well, this guy, he's gonna reset the market at $60 million. Dallas Cowboys can't go through an entire season with Dak just hanging on by a thread. Y'all got about a week and a half to finish this off. Like, what are we waiting on? It was no shock that we pulled up to Monday, and then this deal just got done for CeeDee Lamb. And now you think about the other wide receivers that are looking for cash. Ja'Marr Chase. Yeah, he's 2 years out. He's not even in the final year of his deal. There's still no resolution when it comes down to Brandon Ayuk. I guess they'll drag that on down to the minute. I can't imagine him being traded at this point. Not for nothing. And then speaking of wide receivers, this one, I don't want to say it threw me for a doozy. We don't even know how much is left in this guy's body. I feel like he's been ravaged by injuries. What a blast from the past. Not really when the guy is 27 years old. But Juju Smith Schuster, this man is back on a team that he won a Super Bowl with. He's going back to the Chiefs. He was with the Steelers all those years, had his best season back in 2018, feels like forever ago. 1,400 yards receiving, 7 touchdowns. I think he won the NFL Social Media Award, if they were to ever give one out. This guy didn't meet a TikTok that he didn't like, and then his body stopped cooperating, man. He went to the Pats, and was nothing and then ended up winning a championship, as I told you, at Kansas City. And now he's going back. You know what? His own teammates are happy to have him. Drew Tranquil, a linebacker. He says he's happy that Juju's back in the building.
Well, Nick was saying he was getting treatment on the table today, and he's like, that voice sounds so familiar. And he looked up, and Juju's like, what's up, brother? So I look forward to meeting Juju and getting after it. I hear he's a great player. Him and Pat have good chemistry, and I think he missed like 4 or 5 games. It's almost had 1,000 yards for the team a few years ago, so he'll be a key addition for us and help us.
Yeah, he had 933 yards with Patrick Mahomes. I guess I could do that with Patrick Mahomes, right? Maybe not, but you get my drift. And at this point, for a team that wasn't the offensive juggernaut that it was when Tyreek Hill was running around, it's like the Kansas City Chiefs are just saying, hey, how many wide receivers can we just throw up against the wall and see if somebody sticks? Because the guy that they brought in last year, who should be a 1,000-yard receiver with 10-plus touchdowns, is also a jackass when it comes to driving a car. That happens to be Rashee Rice. We don't know if this guy is going to be suspended, but at the same time, would you rely on him to be available given some of his outdoor transgressions? I would say no. Marquise Hollywood Brown, only named Hollywood because of Florida, this guy is busted up. Xavier Worthy is a rookie. Travis Kelce is getting older. And Juju Smith-Schuster might have the knees of an elderly person. He's 27 years old playing football. The Kansas City Chiefs will be perfectly fine. Whoever works out and whoever's healthy, that's who's going to get the call. And, you know, if you have Patrick Mahomes, I guess he's the one guy. You don't need no superstar out there to go out and win another Super Bowl. And Travis Kelce is good enough. It took him almost all season to get warmed up last year. We'll see how that turns out. A tale of two wide receivers. Juju Smith-Schuster coming off of the scrap heap, going to a Super Bowl contender, Chiefs, and CeeDee Lamb going back to the Dallas Cowboys to take their money in what will likely be another disappointing outcome. Am I pegging him at 12 wins, 12-5 again, and a disappointment in the playoffs? No. I think they'll win a few less games than that. And then they'll still disappoint in the first or the second round. That's the Dallas Cowboys way. Now that you got him out the way, him being CeeDee Lamb, just finish things up with Dak. What the hell are we waiting on? It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. You don't have to wait long for nothing. I'm back after a weekend off, and we're going to take a break. And when we come back, well, hey, I'm going to ask Kiki his thoughts on whether or not he believes a deal will get done with Dak. I think so. Like, right up until the minute, I think they'll get a deal done. And then we'll talk about another guy on the 49ers, also not happy, not thrilled with his contract. I guess this is what happens when you win. Everybody wants a piece of the pie. Everything is all about money. Congratulations. Happy Monday. You're locked into the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm going to tell you who the other angry 49er is on the other side of the break. So don't move. Welcome back. Happy Monday.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. 855-212-4227. Yeah, we got some good news to start the weekend, especially if you're a fan of the Dallas Cowboys. One down, two to go. CeeDee Lamb gets his new contract, 4 years, $136 million, puts him at $34 million per season, $1 million behind Justin Jefferson when it comes down to cash on an annual basis, and he's happy with that. And next up, I guess, is Dak Prescott. He's the most pressing. Dak is going to be a free agent at the end of this season if they don't figure out a contract extension. You can consider this man to be a lame duck, especially given what last year was an MVP caliber season. That doesn't take away his postseason record of 2-5, but there ain't no next best option out there unless the Dallas Cowboys just want to suffer and suffer more. It's enough that they're already in a space of mediocrity. You will completely go into the toilet if now you got to start pulling in guys like, I don't know, Gardner Minshew. How exciting would that be for Dallas Cowboy fans next season? How about this? I don't know. Maybe the Saints are just like, hey, we've had enough of the Derek Carr experiment. Hey, Derek Carr to the Dallas Cowboys. How exciting would that be? Not exciting at all. And I shortchanged the Dallas Cowboys. I shortchanged the schedule. The Dallas Cowboys are in action a little less than 2 weeks from now. Okay? They got about all of this, not about, they got all of this week. They have all of next week to figure out a deal with Dak Prescott before they open up the season against the Browns on September 8th. What's the holdup? I don't think Jerry Jones is twiddling his fingers. He might be taking himself a long nap. But just figure it out. Now, I think they will. The Dallas Cowboys is seat of their pants as they come across. They can't be waiting and just going into this season with this hub. It's a massive distraction. It's enough that Coach McCarthy is just, he was twisting in the wind. It felt like 2 weeks before they let the world know that they're going to bring him back just for this season. And he's a lame duck. What decent NFL team? I know it's saying a lot for the Cowboys. What decent NFL team actually walks around with a lame duck coach and a lame duck quarterback? Cowboys are going to be better than this. I know they will be. Hickey, what do you think, man? They're going to get a deal done with Dak, right? They have to.
I think you said they have to. Just because now when you pay CeeDee Lamb, also, too, I think what you're doing is only increasing the leverage for Dak, right? Because now if you're Dak, you look at it, well, you already locked up a receiver. You're not going to pay him, you know, $34 million a year to catch balls from Jimmy Garoppolo or Derek Carr.
Oh, boy.
You need me there. And so I think if, like, the only way this doesn't get done is if Dak says, I want to be elsewhere.
Oh, asking for the moon, huh?
Right. Just because otherwise, like, the Cowboys have zero leverage. They have no other play. There's no quarterback they can acquire that is even really realistically nothing. Half as good as Dak next year.
Nothing. I mean, the last possible guy that they could have brought in was Tua, and Tua got paid. Like, he ain't going anywhere. There is nobody. Unless now tell me how sexy this would be. Joe Flacco, 2025 quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. There'd be a mutiny, man. There'd be a mutiny.
They have to get it done. You're right.
They have to. They're going to hold this down. And it's going to be big news all season because he's going to exceed the 55 mil. That's the benchmark. He's going past that. So give him a 60 now. It was only, 4 years ago that they paid him 40 mil. And it was the second highest amount on an average annual basis behind Patrick Mahomes. Everybody went, oh, my God. Patrick Mahomes is making $45 million. And now Dak Prescott is going to make 40? Now, how does that look now? I mean, by the time Caleb Williams gets out of his rookie contract, then if he's any good, I mean, we don't know. You would imagine that his salary is going to look like 70? 70 per? It pays to take your kid outside and have him throw a football. Don't worry, by the time your kid is old, it'll be all flag football. Anyway, congratulations to CeeDee Lamb. I think the Dallas Cowboys, they will get this done. They will take it down to the wire. Hickey, they will announce this Sunday morning for the pregame shows. Sunday morning.
Oh, I was about to say like next Thursday morning before the start of the season. Oh, you're going to go right up until like an hour before kickoff?
Not an hour. I think they play in the afternoon. I think the Cowboys are like 4 p.m. Eastern.
Okay.
1 Pacific. So I'm going to say for the pregame show. So what do you think? I think 11 a.m. or maybe noonish Eastern time.
Wow. Okay.
Is one of these fill in the blanks, not being disrespectful to them, but, you know, fill in the blank reporter, NFL guy F, he's going to drop the news and he's going to be, oh, we got breaking news. And they're going to tell everybody that Dak Prescott has signed a contract extension. They're going to take it down to the minute. And then also, Hickey, you want to know what else is? I think this might be his game. Tom Brady can talk about it. That's his debut, right?
I believe you're right. Wow. You talk about greasing the skids there for Fox.
Why, right?
Newly paid, highest probably paid quarterback in the NFL, Dak Prescott, Tom Brady's first game. Wow. Talk about a gift.
I would even give it a... You want the fanfare. You want the business. You want everybody on every broadcast, on every game, talking about this. That's what you want, right? I guess. I don't know. Dallas Cowboys are going to be a... I don't want to say disaster. They'll be a disappointment again, but this is what they do. It's the Cowboy way. And we'll see what they... I think they're going to hand him that deal before the season starts. It would just... It'd be bad, but it's the Dallas Cowboys. What else can I expect? And speaking of the season starting, the very next day, on September 9th, Monday, September 9th, I don't know if this is going to be deja vu for the New York Jets, but they're going to open up their season against the San Francisco 49ers. And the last time we saw Aaron Rodgers on Monday Night Football, let's just say it didn't look grand opening, grand closing. That's pretty much it. And so this year, the Jets are hoping for a different result where they can watch the man play all season long. It's good. Unless Aaron Rodgers' leg blows out between now and then, that's exactly what will happen. But meanwhile, the San Francisco 49ers, a team that is still trying to win a Super Bowl with this group, one of the major pieces who helps protect Brock Purdy, he may not be at work. Damn it, he hasn't even shown up yet. His name is Trent Williams. Yes, the former offensive lineman for Washington has spent the past 3-4 seasons out in the Bay, initially helping to protect Jimmy Garoppolo. We saw how that went. And then he's been helping out Brock Purdy. You know, his contributions are understated. Because when you think about the 49ers, you think about all of the offensive weapons that they have. And we've had so many conversations about Brandon Ayuk and is he going to stay? Is he going to go? Is he crying on social media? Deebo Samuel doesn't get a mention. Brock Purdy doesn't get a mention. He was an MVP candidate just like Dak last year. You think about Christian McCaffrey. People are concerned about his calf and what's going on with it. Ricky Pearsall. It's like, hey, he just got drafted, and now his shoulder keeps popping out of his socket. Trent Williams isn't even at work. This is one of the best offensive linemen that the NFL has seen over the past almost 15 years. He is an 11-time Pro Bowler. This dude is going into the Hall of Fame. But when you're 36 years old, when you know Father Time is knocking at the door, but you're still one of the best in the game, you want some assurances. You want some cash. You want some money. This man, I'm sure, wants some cash up front. He's in the midst of a 6-year, $130 million contract that he signed in 2021. San Francisco can basically give him the polite boot as soon as next year. And so he hasn't showed up to work because he wants that contract adjusted. Now, he's the type of dude for a team that is legitimately competing for a Super Bowl. Hey, if he misses a game to prove his point and, I don't know, Brock Purdy is sacked 20 times by Quinnen Williams, then maybe he'll get what he's looking for. Adam Schefter, he was sitting down with Pat McAfee, who at the time I think was sober, and Adam Schefter talked about the 49ers maybe having some concern that he doesn't show up to work.
I think there is some concern. I think their offensive line didn't play particularly well the other night. And I don't know. I don't think that they've made a lot of progress so far. I don't think that Trent Williams is closer to coming in today. I also think that we're entering a week now where the 49ers play 2 weeks from tonight against Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. 2 weeks from tonight, which is amazing to think about. And I just think that this is the week where I'm expecting every one of these situations to have some type of ramped up activity. Now, I don't know that all of them will get solved.
Hickey, if there's one guy that doesn't show up, I think it's him. I don't know if it's going to really like push the buttons for the 49ers, though. But I think if there's one dude that would be willing to say, you know what, Let's see what you are without me. I think it would be him.
I would agree with that. I mean, Ja'Marr Chase now is back at practice for the Bengals, so any sort of holdout seems to be going out the window. That thought, yeah, I mean, he's the one that, I mean, is older. I mean, his body, I'm sure, could use one less game, you know, tax on it. I'm with you. I think he would be the one, especially, too, on Monday Night Football, that big stage. Like you said, if things go awry on that offensive line, only increases the pressure for the 49ers to get a deal done. I don't think right now he would, you know, like, I'm not predicting him sitting out. But if we don't get a deal done between now and, I guess, less than 2 weeks from now, I would agree. Or I guess 2 weeks from now, exactly. I'm with you. I think he would sit out.
He would sit at home. You know what? Didn't Chris Jones just did this? Wasn't he actually in the arena? Wasn't he in the stadium sitting up in a suite?
He was in a suite watching the Lions beat the Chiefs.
Oh, man. I'm not going to call that a jerk move. But imagine Trent Williams just watching the game. Never moving, just sitting there with popcorn. Wouldn't that be some theater? Now, I don't want to sign up for this, but I actually would. Could you imagine, like, Brock Purdy getting sacked and sacked and sacked some more? And every time he gets sacked, of course, the camera's going to go up to him, and he's just sitting there motionless, throwing popcorn in his mouth. Wouldn't that be great?
I bet you by halftime a deal will get done.
Oh, man. I like the visual of that. They should let me. I should be helping him negotiate. Just the visuals alone. I don't, maybe his teammates would hate him after that. Like, look at this guy. Look at this guy upstairs. I'm busting my ass and he's eating popcorn. And come on now. I'd like it. I don't know if his teammates would. We'll see what happens. The other element of this is, I don't think I've ever seen, in more recent memory, I'm talking, you know, past 10 or so years, 15 years. I haven't seen an NFL player more willing to fight or slap somebody around or get a penalty or pick somebody up and throw them to the ground more so than Trent Williams. Every time there's a whistle blown, a flag, a penalty at the line of scrimmage, somehow, some way, Trent Williams is out there manhandling a guy like they're a child. And it just says to me, if he's doing this on the football field, and sure, with representation and an agent and trying to get all this stuff done, why would I think his contract negotiations would be any different? Like, I see Trent Williams fighting, not to the death, that's a little extreme, but he's going to fight you tooth and nail to just get what he wants. Worst comes to worst, Brock Purdy will turn the mincemeat out there against the Jets, one of the best defenses in the NFL. And Trent Williams will say, well, y'all know I was valuable. We all know I'm valuable. Now pay me before I get old. And the 49ers, a team trying to win a Super Bowl, like right now, over the next few months, over the winter, I should say, they just might have to do it. Especially with Brock Purdy, we know his deal's about to come up. And Dak, you better do Dak's deal now, because Brock Purdy next year, if he can make it through this season in one piece, Brock Purdy, he's going to be the dude getting paid. Now, Hickey, that's a real story from worst to first. That's a big deal right there.
They probably make a movie about it in like 5 years.
Oh, my God. The Disney, like they did. Did you ever see Giannis's movie on Disney?
Oh, I didn't even know he had one.
Oh, there you go. Me neither. I didn't see it. I heard about it for years, and then it came out, and I never watched it. And like, I think I know everything I need to know about Giannis. Hey, good luck to Brock Purdy. Good luck to Trent Williams. Send me some of that money. I'm here for more negotiating advice if you need it. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I have to tell you about this game. I just mentioned Pat McAfee. He was actually sober today. Over the weekend, we know this guy was enjoying the libations. And I don't know, apparently, the players at Florida State, were they jet lag? Were they sleep? What the hell was going on in that game? We're going to talk about that on the other side, get into some more NFL. It's the JR Sport Brief Show.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. We talked about some of the news that took place today. CeeDee Lamb gets a new contract. Trent Williams still hasn't shown up to work for the 49ers. Nothing new with Brandon Ayuk. Maybe Brandon Ayuk wanted to see what took place with CeeDee Lamb before he got his deal. I don't think it's going to change too much, man. You ain't hitting that 34, 35 range, so just best to get a deal done before you know it. Those are a few things that took place today. You know what? When we get to the top of the hour, I want to talk to you about something else that took place today. It looks like we might have a little bit of clarity when it comes to a few of the remaining quarterback competitions in the NFL. What's going on with Drake May and Jacoby Brissett? What's going on with the Steelers? Mike Tomlin's favorite players, Justin Fields, and also Russell Wilson. What the hell is going to happen with those guys? We'll talk about that next hour. But in thinking about a few things, or one thing in particular that took place over the weekend, both Hickey and I, we were wrong. Florida State, I was expecting them to smash Georgia Tech like a lot of people. I stood in this same spot on Friday afternoon, Friday evening, and I said, by the time we get to halftime, I can turn the game off. I can go about my Saturday. I can keep my life moving because FSU was going to beat up on Tech. I was wrong. I was on social media saying they're going to smash them. Didn't happen. Georgia Tech won by a field goal in what was actually a good game. This is what I enjoy. The only reason I watched this game was to see whether or not Georgia Tech was actually going to keep the game competitive, which they did. And whether or not DJ Uiagalelei was going to go out there and whoop some ass, which he did not. I mean, a matter of fact, there was a point of the game I had to look twice at the screen. I stepped away for him, and I said, wait a minute, 14-11? I thought this game was going to be an ass-whooping from the get-go. Hickey, how disrespectful is it to open up a game with a touchdown and immediately go for a two-point conversion? This is like knocking somebody out in a boxing match and then punching them while they're down.
That was crazy. I like the creativity, but you're right. That first sequence is like, oh, this is going to be a romp. Right down the field, they get the two-point conversion, all the momentum on their side. It's 8-0, here we go. And that was probably, I mean, I know they scored another touchdown. That was probably the high point there for Florida State fans.
Oh, my good. I was like, damn, this is, Hickey, that was not a nice thing to do. I was like,
smart
damn.
Smart design, though. That was pretty cool.
It was, but that's not nice. If an NFL team did that, everybody would be up in arms. Unwritten rules and this and that. But listen,
it was baseball, I mean, who knows? Oh, baseball,
everybody would have been crying, right? You score the ball.
Been a brawl.
Yeah, it would have been a brawl. You score, you do what you want with the ball afterwards. And as Hickey said, I said, it didn't happen that way. A matter of fact, let's take a listen to the game-winning kick by a Georgia Tech kicker who happens to be from Ireland. Let's take a listen. What is this courtesy of? What are you looking at? IMG Radio Network.
Burr shrugs out the shoulders. He's ready. Set down for him. Booted up. It's tumbling. It's turning. It is good! At the horn! It ain't the luck of the Irish. It's the heart of the Jackets. And Georgia Tech knocks off number 10 Florida State. Final score, 24-21.
That was Andy Demetra. Hickey, I'm sure that maybe he was probably having a drink after the game. I'm sure. Maybe.
One.
Possibly.
I hope a few.
A few? Unless they had to just get back on the plane and turn around.
Pit stop at the pub. Come on. Hey, you know, I'm sure Pat McAfee was serving a few Guinnesses out there.
After?
Take it to go.
I'm still trying to understand what he had between Friday and Saturday. He seemed normal by the time they got to college game day.
I'm sure there was a lot of electrolytes consumed late Friday night, early Saturday morning.
You think they gave this dude an IV?
You know what? Good call, maybe. Whatever it takes. First show of the year. You got to be ready to go.
Oh, my. How about this? Speaking of an IV, it's just flashed across the screen. Odell Beckham Jr. has not practiced since March? What? What are we... Hickey, what month are we in? This is August?
August, and September is rapidly approaching.
Is this going to be this dude's last year? I mean, because he's never helped ever. He came into the NFL hurt. He made that one catch, and there we have it.
It is sad. You mentioned Juju Smith-Schuster earlier. I mean, Odell Beckham Jr., a little bit more production for sure, a little bit more flash, but similar trajectory in terms of, like you said, just can't stay healthy. And the crazy part is, like, he's not even coming off a serious injury. You know, he didn't have a season-ending injury in Baltimore. I don't know what happened, bruh, but whatever's going on, he clearly, whether it's lack, I mean, we played Mike McDaniel, was it now, about a month ago, maybe 2 weeks ago. He made it seem like it was like a lack of confidence in his body to like run routes, bruh, and not get hurt.
His quads, his legs, his knee, Hickey. I'm not a professional athlete. I exercise frequently. And sometimes I'm like, whoa, I got to slow down just in case I get. I can imagine having to go through procedure after procedure, procedure. Like, there's the confidence in your body that I'm going to make the wrong move and I'm going to go down. It's just unfortunate. This is where Odell is at in his career. He needs a focus group with Giancarlo Stanton, don't you think? No, I'm just saying.
Two guys that can't run.
Yeah, Giancarlo Stanton is really like, yes, when I run the bases, I have to be careful to not get hurt. Come on. Like, this is your job. Unless you're going up there literally smacking 100 home runs, maybe 60. If you were hitting 60 home runs, people wouldn't care. When you can't run the bases, what type of athlete can't run? He should be a pitcher for all of that. Anyway, back to the upset. Congratulations to Georgia Tech. And for Florida State, do I think they're cooked? No. Do I think they're winning a national championship? Hell no. But I still believe they have a chance and an opportunity to get into the playoff. I mean, their next scheduled game is against Boston College. I mean, if you don't beat Boston College, then just go ahead and pack up for the whole damn year. Their head coach, Mike Norvell, who did not look happy after that L, this is what he had to say after they lost.
For our football team, you know, it's about, you know, where our response goes from here. And, you know, obviously, it's, you know, we're all hurt. I mean, you come, you work, you want to start off the season a certain way. You know, we came up short of that tonight.
They will get into the playoff, maybe, or barely get in. But there's not going to be nothing sexy about the Seminoles this year. I texted a few of my buddies, professors that I know, they were over there. Hickey, I texted them cheers and good luck on the season. I didn't get a response back until today. I figured everybody was just drinking.
You knew people. Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
That is, you talk about a rough plane ride. Now, I'm sure they had fun seeing the country, but flying all that way to watch your team lose in that fashion on a walk-off.
It's a cultural experience. More than a football game.
That's what you tell yourself after a loss.
And shout outs to Dr. Pappas. He went out. He was with his family. Good for him. He had a good time. It was his family. If you go with your family, you can't be wasted all day.
I mean, you can technically if you really wanted to.
A quarter of the day, maybe a Friday night. You take the family out to dinner. You put everybody to sleep and go, I'll be back.
Don't mind me, I'll find my way back. Don't come looking. You may see me Saturday morning, but I'll be back.
Yeah. That's how you I'll be. Yeah, well.
Like a stray cat, I'll be back.
I hope everybody made it back to Tallahassee. I hope everybody made it back to Florida. I think they'll still make the playoff. But here's the thing. It's 12 teams now. They're not good enough to win a national championship. I mean, I was sending out messages on Saturday about how they need to send a DJ Uiagalelei back to Oregon State. Hickey, I had so many people messaging me going, no, we don't want him. I guess there's a reason why they didn't want him. And everybody down in Tallahassee is going to find out about it now. Georgia Tech, by the way, we want to talk about all the changes on FSU's defense. Like, Georgia Tech almost rushed for 200 yards. You think they're going into the playoff?
No, they're done.
Oh, damn.
Well, we saw on Saturday, that's like, I think they were just a classic, or it was a classic oversight by the AP poll, where they're a team that was ranked far too high, maybe because of perception, maybe because of a little sympathy of what happened last year, going undefeated, getting left out, where maybe, let's bump up a few spots. Number 10, were they truly the 10th best team in the country? No, I think what we saw Saturday was not just one game oh, they got, you know, hey, they'll play better. That's who they are.
Oh, damn. They weren't jet lagged? I want to blame jet lag, even though they were there for like 4 days.
I mean, what was Georgia Tech?
I think they got there shorter.
That distance from Tallahassee to Atlanta really made the difference.
Shorter distance. Anyway, I don't expect them, and this is what makes part of it, I don't want to say laughable at the back end. I'm saying the back end of the college football playoff. The Seminoles' next game is against Boston College. Georgia Tech is going to take on Georgia State, which I'm sure 99% of the country has never heard of. And I only know them because they're down the block from me. They play in the Sun Belt. Georgia Tech, man, it's a sham. Florida State, they'll still win. They'll be competitive, but they ain't winning no championship, playoff or not. It's the JR Sportbrief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. When we come back on the other side, we're going to talk about some of the NFL QB competitions that are still going on. Yeah, they ain't figured out yet. They suck.